Well, hello, and I'm so excited to be sharing with you this morning. What a special time of the year it is. Just last weekend, we're able to come together over Easter and to remember and celebrate all that Jesus has done for us. I love Easter and all that it represents, from the deep reflection and the gratitude of Good Friday as we consider the sacrifice found in the cross, to the anticipation that Sunday is coming and the fullness of life and restoration revealed on Resurrection Sunday as we remember that Jesus conquered death itself. And we, you and I, are recipients of all that this represents. There's a scripture we find in the Bible that may be well known and probably the most well-known scripture to all of you. If you've been part of the faith community for a while, you'll no doubt have heard this scripture. And if you grew up in church, you most likely would have learned it as a memory verse in Sunday school. It's also a verse I believe sums up what the gospel is all about, the mission of Jesus. And it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, if you were around in the 80s, you may remember that John 3:16 started showing up at sporting events, where people would hold up a poster or a banner they'd created, simply the words John 3:16 on it. With the media exposure received by being positioned in the right place behind the goalpost, it became a talking point and got people asking questions about faith. In more recent history, the high-profile American footballer by the name of Tim Tebow took the John 3:16 message to the next level, where he would, as many sportsmen do when they play under lights, put black strips under their eyes to stop the reflection from the lights. But Tim got his made with John 3:16 on it so everyone could see it. In 2009, his college team made the national championships. Now, to give you some perspective, last year the championship game was watched by over 20 million broadcast viewers. So it's a big deal. But up until that game, Tim had the scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, written on the strips. But for this game, he just felt really burdened to change it to John 3:16, as the scripture is the foundation of his personal faith and his relationship with Jesus. As a result, 94 million people Googled John 3:16 after that game. Then again, exactly 3 years later, he was playing in the NFL playoffs as a quarterback with Denver in the game versus the Steelers. And a reporter came up to him afterwards and said, Tim, do you know what happened in that game? And Tim said, yeah, we won. He goes, no, that's not all, the reporter said. You know, you threw 316 yards. Your completions were 31.6 yards. Yards per rush were 3.16. Time in possession was 31.06. And during the game, 91 million people Googled John 3:16. And it's the number one trending thing on all the platforms. Hey, I guess God can use anything, right, to see more people encounter Jesus. And Tim Tebow will never fully know the impact of that simple decision to put John 3:16 under his eyes may have. So where am I going with all this? You see, in the past 12 months, I came across some other 3:16 verses in the Bible. And one in particular has had a profound impact on the journey that I've been on. But it got me thinking, I wonder what all the other 3:16 verses are in the different books of the Bible. And yep, I grabbed them all. I wrote them down and took some time to reflect on them, and there are some great verses. So today, I've called this message, The Other 3:16s. Now, I'm not going to share all of them today, but there are three themes I want to touch on. And my prayer is that maybe just one of these, one of the relevant scriptures, one of the other 3:16s, might be something that you can grab hold of, that it would directly speak into your circumstances you might be navigating, a season you're walking, or simply encourage you, inspire you, or even challenge you. And I know that has been the case for me. So here's the first theme I want to have a look at, the way of love. Mike Howdy has used this phrase several times in the past couple of weeks, and it caught my attention, as it was a theme that many years ago, I started asking the questions of myself. What does it really look like to walk in the way of love? In fact, this band on my wrist that I still wear nearly a decade later has that exact phrase written on it, the way of love. For me, it serves as a reminder each time I see it, in every situation I find myself, am I in fact walking in the way of love, the way of Jesus? The first other 3:16 I want to share is the verse found in 1 John 3:16, which says this, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. I'm convinced that the longer I journey this life, the more I come to understand that the way of love is the only way to live. As the scripture says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. He modeled complete and perfect love, made the ultimate sacrifice, lived with humility, obedience, servanthood. He showed us the way of love. The way of love is more than thoughts and intentions. The way of love requires action. If we want to see change in the world, lives set free, relationships restored, the communities we serve impacted, it requires us to give up our lives and live out the way of love. I love the idea that J.D. Walt writes about. He says, when the people of God learn to live 1 John 3:16, the watching world will begin to believe in John 3:16. I love this. When we as followers of Jesus give up our lives to practically live out the way of love, the world around us changes. The sacrifice of Jesus we find in John 3:16 is amplified and gives something further for people to consider. So who are our brothers and sisters? Look around you. Look across the classroom, down the street, down the aisle at the supermarket. Each one of those people you see are your brothers and sisters. Jesus came for all. It wasn't just a chosen few. So as followers of Jesus, we too must give our lives up for all. And finally, what does it mean to give up our lives? There's no question that throughout the ages, women and men have paid the ultimate sacrifice in giving up their lives. But for us, I don't believe it's necessarily that extreme. Eugene Peterson translates in the Message 1 John 3:16 like this. He says, "This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us, and this is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves." Living sacrificial lives may not be easy, but it doesn't have to be complicated. And here's the question I want you to ask yourself today, and every day for that matter. Think of the life you have to give, and who can you give it to today? Think of the life you have to give, and who can you give it to today? Who can you serve? Who can you love? Be generous towards, encourage, give of your time, bake a meal, mow a lawn, send a message of appreciation. That is what it means to live sacrificially. This is what it means to walk in the way of love. The second theme is perfect peace. In my introduction, I mentioned that one verse in particular had been so profound for me over the last couple of years. It's also the verse that got me started down this path of looking at the other 3:16s. It's the verse I have on the screen of my phone, so that every time I wake up my handset, it's the first thing I see. Now, I'm not one that holds to a belief that if I repeat a scripture long enough, it miraculously makes everything right. But I do believe there's something incredibly powerful when we put scripture to memory, recall it, and declare it. It does something within our hearts and our minds, and it's something the enemy can't refute. Despite what we may be facing, scripture can align our thinking with the Father's, and nothing can come against that. I also believe that it's an ongoing process. It's something we need to be doing daily, and that's why having a personal devotional time each day is so important. It's a decision to allow the transforming work of scripture to renew our minds. Our circumstances and the situations we face will often toss and turn us, but it is the Word of God that can be the anchor that holds us fast. The 3:16 verse that talks to this theme of perfect peace is found in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And it reads this, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times in every situation." Let me read that again. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation." To take up the point that Mike made at the Easter services just last week, he talked about shalom, the Hebrew word meaning peace of God. He explains shalom to be about harmony, peace, wholeness, welfare, the way things were meant to be. Now, if I take those thoughts and overlay them in this verse in Thessalonians, it brings out some great insights. It could perhaps go something like this. May the Lord of harmony, peace, wholeness, welfare, the way things were meant to be, give you his peace, harmony, wholeness, welfare, at all times, in every situation. Now, this beautiful benediction or prayer of blessing that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians is something we can all grab hold of, as it's the heart of the Father that his children would know perfect peace. Not just the moment you become a follower of Jesus or every now and then, but that you would know perfect peace at all times and in every situation, the way things were meant to be. Paul also writes in Philippians and gives us some great insight as to what brings this peace into our lives. He says in chapter 4, verse 6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So what is the path to perfect peace? Don't worry. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him. Not just any peace, but the peace that exceeds anything you can understand will flood your life. And it doesn't stop there. His peace also guards your heart and your mind. I can't tell you how much the truth and reality of this scripture has worked out in my own personal journey these past couple of years. Despite the realities of some of the things I've faced, the peace of God has just guarded my heart and mind. It stopped me from becoming bitter, frustrated, and heading down paths that don't even exist. Did the situation just disappear? No, they didn't. But I have no doubt it was His peace that enabled me to walk through them. So the question I want you to ask yourself is this: will you choose today to walk in His perfect peace at all times and in every situation? The third other 3:16 is found in the Old Testament. It's a story that has captured my attention in the past and speaks to something I long to see in my own life, but also that we, the church, would grab hold of and that we might have fresh revelation of. And that's bold faith, our third theme. As someone who's grown up in the local church, I've seen time and time again God move in miraculous ways. Breakthroughs, people healed. But I read the scriptures and the life of Jesus, and I feel like I've only seen a glimpse of the restorative work Jesus longs to do in our lives and in the lives of those around us. I've always been drawn to the moment we read in Luke where Jesus is in the temple. He's handed the scroll and he reads from Isaiah. And I want to read that to you now. It's found in Luke chapter 4. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." He gives the scroll back and simply says, "The scripture you just heard has been fulfilled today." A massive mic drop moment. What does it look like for us to continue to fulfill the mission of Jesus? There is one thing I know for sure, is that it will require bold faith. But let's get back to the other 3:16, which is found in 2 Kings 3:16. And it simply says this: "And he said," he being Elisha, "this is what the Lord says, this dry valley will be filled with pools of water." Now, I better give you a very abbreviated backstory. So, Mesha was king of Moab and had rebelled against Israel. So King Joram mobilized all of Israel and sent word to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, who joined them, and as did the king of Edom. Okay, so here you have three kingdoms coming against the Moabites. They collectively made the decision to attack via the long route through the Edom desert, which meant a seven-day march. However, they ran out of water. There was no question that they all believed that God had called them to this moment. However, they wrestled with whether God was going to abandon them in the desert as things got desperate. Enter Elisha, the prophet, who was the protege of Elijah. And let me read to you again from 2 Kings 3:16 and through to verse 18 this time, and also from the New King James Version, as I really love some of the significant detail this version picks up on. "And he said, 'Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that your cattle and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hands.'" You see, bold faith requires us to act even when the situation before us seems dire or doesn't make sense. For the armies of Israel, this meant that they were to dig ditches and that God would fill them with water. Now they're in the desert. Pools of water in the desert simply doesn't make sense, particularly if there's no rain or storms in sight. Is this what bold faith looks like? Digging ditches because God told you to and trusting that he'll be faithful to do his part? Quite possibly. But it's also bold faith that led Noah to build an ark because God told him he was going to flood the earth. It's bold faith that David would lay down the armor and weapons of others to pick up 5 stones in his sling to defeat a giant on the battlefield that the whole army had been unable to defeat. It's bold faith that compelled a widow to act, collecting as many jars as she could so they'd be filled overflowing with oil. It's bold faith that causes us to march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, believing that God will deliver the enemy into their hands. And I could go on and on with story after story of women and men who have lived with bold faith, both then and now. This isn't just an Old Testament thing either. In fact, there's another 3:16 verse found in the book of Acts, which reads this. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. It requires bold faith for the crippled to be healed, just like this verse in Acts recounts. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, are there some ditches we need to dig? Ditches that will be an act of bold faith preceding the breakthrough. Are there some stones we need to pick up, walls to walk around, jars to gather? These are bold faith moments. Deep within my heart, I long to be someone who lives a life marked with bold faith, a life that glorifies God and points people to Jesus. There's a song which has made it to my Spotify repeat list that speaks to this theme so beautifully. And I'd love to read a few verses of it to bring this point to a close. It's called That's the Power by Hillsong. There's a name that levels mountains. It carves out highways through the sea. And I've seen its power unravel battles right in front of me. Oh, there's a faith that stands defiant. It sends Goliath to his knees. And I've seen a praise unraveled shackles right off my feet. Because that's the power of your name, and just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there's healing, and that's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave, and there's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, there's a hope that calls out courage, and in the furnace unafraid, the kind of daring expectation that every prayer I make is on an empty grave. As I mentioned at the very beginning, my hope and prayer is that God, through the work of His Spirit, would take something I've shared today, or one of the other 3:16 verses that I've read, and use it to powerfully speak into your life and encourage you on the path you walk. That together, we may be able to go from this place and fulfill the mission of Jesus wherever we find ourselves this week. As I was researching this message, there was one other element that I thought was kind of special. It's found in Hebrew numerology, the significance and the meaning of specific numbers. And as we were talking about the other 3:16s, I was interested to know what the number 3 and the number 16 signified. 3, it represents something complete and good. And the number 16 is symbolic of love and loving. So maybe next time you read John 3:16 or one of the other 3:16s, maybe a reminder that there is a God who is so, so good, that He loves you more than you can ever comprehend. As we go about our week to come, may we consider the themes looked at today. May our lives truly reflect and overflow the way of love, perfect peace, and bold faith. And as a way of just sending you off this week, I'd love to pray this prayer of blessing, which is found in another 3:16, this time in Ephesians, which goes like this. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, and then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless. It's been great to be with you.